Good day, beautiful souls. Welcome once again to the PRQ Homesteading Expanded, a living space on the airwaves where we return to what is real, rooted, and free. Today, we invite you to pause with Shane and I and turn your awareness not just inward, but outward, to the land beneath your feet, to your home, your property, your homestead. Not as an asset, not as a line on a ledger, but as a living extension of you, a sacred place where spirit, soil, and sovereignty meet. Your homestead is more than a shelter, and that is a true fact. I am totally connecting with that every day that I am here in my beautiful little homestead. It is your high-frequency sanctuary. It is where you align with the rhythms of nature, where the noise of the old system fades, and where freedom is not an idea, it's a daily experience. Here you anchor into the new earth, not someday, not yesterday, not tomorrow, right now, here and now. As we care for our land, we simplify it. We clear what no longer serves. We honor the spaces we inhabit. Inside our homes and across our acres, every garden tended, every tool cared for, especially my lawnmower that gets worked out every summer, every structure maintained with intention becomes an act of reverence. When the land is respected, the energy flows. When the space is honored, abundance responds. Your property is not separate from source, from creator, from you, because you are source and creator, from the living intelligence of the earth itself. It exists within the same field of grace that animates every tree, every stream, and every breath you take. The sunlight on your soil, the sunlight that shines upon me when I'm laying on my deck in the summertime, the wind through the trees, the quiet stillness at dawn, all of it is an embassy of light, not because we claim it, but because we remember it. So wherever you are listening from, take a moment right now, feel the ground supporting you. Notice the air moving freely around you. Listen to the natural stillness beneath all sound. In the remembering, something settles. Clarity returns. Guidance arises. Not as an outside authority, as a knowing that lives within you, me, your land, and the world. This is your homestead. This is your place of freedom. This is your share field of light. You are grounded. You are sovereign. And the new earth is already growing beneath your feet. So welcome to the show. Welcome everyone. Once again to PRQ Homesteading Expanded. And so I want to give a special shout out to my dear friend Anna in Kentucky. Thank you so much for sharing the song Out of the Matrix. And it is by Shift to Abundance. And there was another song after that by the same artist. It's already done. And the lyrics just move me. The universe moves when I decide. Feel it in my chest. I am the chosen one. I don't beg. I don't hope. I shift my reality. I put my focus where I want to go. So thank you, Anna. I love the music. I'm always looking for new music. Shane, how are you, darling?
I am fine. I am blessed. I am powerful. I am great. I am the creator. I am source energy.
And
I love
I
what you
am.
said there. I love what you said there in the very beginning, and I hope everyone heard it. Today, we invite you to pause with us and turn your awareness not just inward, but outward. Because when we're in the moment, we start to realize what's inward within us is projected in our reality. So I love that. I loved everything you said. That was amazing.
From my heart,
Absolutely.
man. I was
Yeah.
inspired by an experience that happened to me this weekend, and I'm going to share that with everyone. But before we get
Yeah.
started, Shane, darling, can I keep on calling you darling, darling?
You can call me anything you want.
Awesome. Can you share the call-in lines with all the
Absolutely. This is
listeners?
my this is my favorite part. It's just I get so excited when I share these numbers. And I love it so much. I love to be a part of this.
I love that you love it.
The lines today are open, everyone. Call 1-888-627-6008. Again, I love it. 1-888-627-6008. And if you're out of country, we love you too. We love everyone. All beings of light come together right now. Call 323-744-4831. That is 323-744-4831. You can email us at prqhomestead13@gmail.com. Again, that's prqhomestead13 at gmail.com with any questions. Feel free to subscribe to our show. Subscription started out at $2.99, but if you can't afford it, we still love you. And we take any and all donations that you can or can't afford. And if you can't afford anything, just call us, just email us to say, hey, Robin loves getting these emails.
I
She
do.
loves get she loves getting these emails, y'all. I'm telling you, it's amazing how many emails she forwards me, and it's just like one after one another. So it is amazing. We do have a donation button to help those in need. We are doing our best to help as many people as we can in need. Robin and I have a really heartfelt place there that we try to help everyone that we can because we allow the energetics of helping others flow through us and to other people. So when we allow the energetics to flow through us to those in need. And because we do that and we know it happens, therefore, source, spirit, the universe knows what we do and knows we hear. I command the universe to hear my thoughts, go within my heart and see my pure intentions, and allow all to flow through me based on who I am. And that's one of the things that I do daily. And for that reason, I am blessed every day. I would like to have a shout out to our sponsors. We couldn't do it without you.
Oh
Before
my
we
gosh,
jump in,
Shane, I love your vibration. I am just like loving. Keep it going. Keep it going. Oh my gosh.
before we jump in, I want to thank our sponsors, Nano Oges, the Nano Skin Repair and Wellness Sprays I've been obsessed with lately. It's for people who actually care what goes in and on their body. No junk, no fluff, just clean ingredients that actually absorbs. It's the kind of wellness and skin care you can feel. And you don't have to hand your health over to anyone else to get it. Finally, a formula that actually works with your body, not against it. Check them out at nanoogis.net and use our code PRQHOME15 for 15% off. I want to share something with the audience today, this week, that I collapsed a timeline and I use it as an experience coming through, and maybe this will connect with someone maybe going through the same thing. I started getting a head cold, pretty bad head cold coming on, and I said, Spirit Source, I know that this is an opportunity for me to collapse this timeline without taking any medication. Without taking anything, I know that it can be collapsed right now. The first day I was feeling stuffy and kind of wore down and dragged out. I did my commands. I knew it happened. And the very next day I woke up, I could breathe and it's going away. It is going away. So
Bam.
with that, yeah, just like that, instantly. I love
Yep.
it. I love it. I love it. I love it. So
It's great that you say that because I want to share that I am personally gearing up for the NPC Bikini Division in May this, and it falls on my B day, and I almost skipped it this year because of curveballs and what's happening in my life, but it is a passion that keeps me going. And I like to lead by example in regard to my profession. So what I'm saying is that age is, you know what they say, age is just a number, but truly we all know it's just a program. And like Shane said, we have the power to anti-age, to heal ourselves, and that ain't no play. So prep is officially underway for me, and Nano-Oges is feeling my supplement routine every step of the way. Along, and I want to share this with the audience, Shane, and also you. I don't know how many coffee drinkers are out there, but I discovered this new mud water, and it has cacao, lion's mane, cordyceps, chaga, reishi, cinnamon, turmeric, and Himalayan salt. So I'm trying to get away from the caffeine, and I found a natural replacement. So that being said, Shane is spot on about collapsing timelines, although I call it stabilizing my timelines. So we share our different perceptions of timeline.
Oh yeah, it's okay though because we're all headed to the same place, right? That then that's all that matters. And on this journey, no one said that we had to do it the same way. We just had to be authentic and from the heart and do it from our purest intentions. And that when that happens, everything just kind of works out, doesn't it? It really works out.
It really does. It really does. So just a small disclaimer before we get started. The content of this radio show is based on our personal experiences and research and does not constitute professional, definitely not legal, financial or medical advice. So I just wanted to share that with everyone. And Shane, I'm going to start going into my experience this past weekend after we did the show last weekend. On Sunday, February 1st, I was headed to the gym for my Sunday morning workout and I decided to go to the mailbox. And when I went to the mailbox, I had two letters in it and they were from the council of the creditor from my forecloser, and the other one was from the realtor. A realtor, and that one was very interesting. So, I want to share a real moment from my chapter 13 process with everyone because it shows how knowledge changes outcome. All right. And in my active chapter 13 bankruptcy, for those that have been following me and for the new listeners, this is a strategy that I decided to navigate through in regard to my homestead. To hang on to it until we can get into a place to where we can bring in our defense in regard to the unjust enrichment that is going on with my mortgage. So this past weekend, as I said, I went to my mailbox, found the two letters, and one of them was an objection from the creditor's attorneys. Okay, so we responded to them a few weeks ago and it was really silent. We didn't hear anything. And then finally they came back. And I'll share that maybe with you later if we have enough time. And the other one was from a realtor representing Coldwell Banker Woodland Schmidt Real Estate out of Grand Haven, Michigan. And it was a letter. The title was Cash for Keys Offer. And I'll be honest with you guys, when I opened it, it created an emotional reaction at first. Not because of fear or financial pressure, but because these letters are intentionally designed to trigger urgency and surrender, as I found out when I read it. So recognizing this had allowed me to pause, stay neutral, and respond strategically instead of emotionally. So I got back to my house. It did disrupt my day a little bit. So I got back to my house, I jumped on my computer, and I started researching the letter in regard to the legality of it. And so in the instant Chapter 13 case. When you file a federal protection called the automatic stay, goes into effect under Title 11 of the United States Code, Section 362, specifically 11 U.S.C. 362A, number 3, which prohibits any act to obtain possession of property of the bankruptcy estate, and 362A, number 6, which prohibits attempts to pressure or coerce action outside of the court process. These rules apply not only to the lenders, also to their agents and representatives as well. So when a cash for keys offer shows up during an act of 13, chapter 13, it raises serious legal questions in regard to my research. So it suggests an attempt to bypass the court oversight and influence possession privately rather than proving lawful standing inside a federal court room. So I'm going to share the letter with everyone, and it's dated January 27, 2026. And it says current occupants, and that gives the address, which is my home address. And in large, bold, capital letters, cash for keys settlement offer. Reference foreclosure sale of the above reference property. Shane, are you watching for callers?
I am.
Okay, thank you. So it says a foreclosure sale on the above reference property has taken place, and a new owner may be entitled to immediate restitution and possession. New owner, isn't that interesting? Because the sheriff's deed actually had the purchaser 10 days before the auction. So very interesting that they sent a letter like this. A request to begin eviction proceedings against all occupants in the property has already been forwarded to our attorney's office. You may avoid an eviction judgment being entered against you by entering into an agreement to turn over possession of your property. The mortgage company may be willing to pay you to vacate the property on a mutually agreeable date. You must be living in the property or in the process of moving to be considered. You must contact us as soon as possible in large capital bold letters. If you are interested in pursuing such an agreement, if you vacate by 2/2/26, and just so you guys know, the letter on the envelope, the date was 1/28. The seller would offer you, get this, $1,000. Isn't that awful generous? Oh my goodness, so generous. So, to qualify for receipt of the check upon the terms agreed, the property and home is to be free of any personal property and/or debris, and the home be left in broom-swept condition. That's probably why they're paying you the $1,000 so you can clean it up. An agreement must be extended and signed by all parties to be valid. If you are interested, please call. And then it gives the name of the realtor that mailed it to me. So I just want to share my response to the realtor. She didn't leave an email address. She did not leave any other information but her phone number. So I said hi, and I said her name. I received your cash for keys settlement offer. I have filed Chapter 13, and according to the USC to 11 USC 362, this is a violation of the Chapter 13 automatic stay. Creditors and their agents may not attempt to collect, demand possession, threaten eviction, pressure to vacate, or make cash for keys offers related to possession without bankruptcy court permission. I demand all contact to cease and desist. Okay, so that's all I said. You know, I don't want to bring any type of emotion into this. So you want to stay neutral. And the reason why I feel like I need to go a step further is because, as I said to Shane this morning, and maybe it might have been the other day, imagine the people who don't know this law. These letters can be very devastating. They can cause panic, which it did for me for a brief moment. I'm being honest. They make people believe they've already lost. Many move out unnecessarily, surrendering rights they didn't know they had, and remove the very leverage that could have protected them. And so I wanted to share that with everyone, and I have decided not to just walk away from what this letter did emotionally. And when I came home, and that's the reason for my opening statement today, is because my connection with this house and the life that I've lived here for the fat past 4 years, after a not so great breakup in a 9-year relationship, this was my awakening. This is my sanctuary. This is my temple. This is where I have derived, where I, you know, it, and it's very special to me. It's not just a homestead. This is me. This home is a part of me. And so this letter affected me in a way that instead of being angry, I feel that I need to do something to stop it from happening to others because it's not right to go around. It's like the big bully on the playground. And so I put together a notice of potential violation of the automatic stay after I contacted the trustee and inquired about has the automatic stay been lifted? Is there been some kind of removal? And she can't answer me. She can't give me any legal, but she did send me the docket with everything that has taken place with my case. And there was nothing on there that showed the removal of the automatic stay. So I put this notice of potential violation of the automatic stay together for the United States Bankruptcy Court, Western District of Michigan. And, you know, I put all of the information, the case number, and then it goes on to say, comes now the debtor pro se. Pro se means that I'm representing myself and respectfully gives notice to the court and the Chapter 13 trustee of a potential violation of the automatic stay and states as follows. The debtor filed a voluntary petition for relief under Chapter 13 of the bankruptcy code on the filing date, which was 11/21 of 25. The automatic stay pursuant to 11 USC 362 went into immediate effect upon filing. Number two, on or about the date received the letter, which was January 28th. After the bankruptcy filing, the debtor received a written communication, cash for key settlement offer concerning property located, and it gives the address. The communication was sent by the realtor's name and the brokerage that she works for. Acting in connection with the above referenced property, which is property of the bankruptcy estate, the communication appears to seek to induce the debtor to surrender possession of estate property during the pendency of the automatic stay. The debtor is unaware of any authorization from the bankruptcy court or Chapter 13 trustee permitting such communication. The notice is filed for informational and preservational purposes only, without waiver of any rights, remedies, or causes of action available to the debtor under the bankruptcy code, including not limited to remedies under 11 USC 362. A copy of the communication, an envelope evidencing the date of the mailing are attached hereto as Exhibit A. Wherefore, the debtor respectfully provides this notice to the court and the trustee and requests that the matter be noted on the docket. And then it says, respectfully submitted my name and all my information. And then I did a certificate of service to the creditor and also the creditor's counselor. Now, as far as the realtor, there's another avenue that I'm going to go down in regard to that. But that's another story because I haven't done it yet. So I will share that later. So just so everybody knows that Chapter 13 does the opposite, okay, of this letter in these objections that we're getting. It slows down the process. Okay, brings everything into light and buys time to examine documents, challenge unlawful claims such as unjust enrichment in regard to my mortgage, and bring issues like, well, I just said that, before the court where they belong. That time is not a delay tactic. It is a truth-finding mechanism. So the purpose of bankruptcy in regard to this type of situation that I am, it is here to assist us. It is our way to hang on and to defend our homestead. And this is a message I want to leave with the listeners. Foreclosure often relies on confusion and emotional pressure. Bankruptcy laws restore structure and accountability. When you understand your rights, understand your rights, and stay neutral, you don't just protect your home, you protect the truth long enough for it to be heard. Okay, so these letters that I'm getting, this is just more evidence that I will be able to bring forward when I do go to my 341 hearing. Shane, any thoughts on that?
Well, you called me this morning and you discussed something about the bankruptcy court. And I'm not sure if you're ready to discuss that part right now of what court is actually got you going into. But I
Yeah,
know you
well,
want you said.
I do believe it is a federal court. So, and I have to confirm that because according to what I just read, it says federal court. So, is it possible I'm in federal court and I didn't know it? Yeah, very, because I'm still learning this stuff and I'm willing to admit that. So I'm pro se, which means that I'm representing myself and,
Well, that would give you an opportunity to present your federal patent land that you already obtained, and it would take it out of the county and the county courts.
yes, and that may come into play, not in this particular situation, because this is going to be a 341 hearing, and I'm going to talk about that in a minute. But they are going to probably ask me questions in regard to this issue that we're having with the creditor, and I'm not going to say the name just yet. But it's a big one. It's a big one here in Michigan, and I don't
Would
know.
you, did you, are you, I don't know if I'm putting you on the spot here, but
No,
you
not at all. Go ahead.
also shared something with me with the woman that actually sent you the letter was actually at your
Oh, yes, yes, yes,
office.
yes. Yes, you are right. When I went back to look at the footage that I took when I went to the foreclosure meeting, because I went to one before mine just to kind of see what goes on, this woman, because I looked her up on Facebook, I'm such a researcher, I can't help myself. I looked her up on Facebook and I sent the picture to a friend of mine, and I shared the footage of when I was filming the foreclosure, and she was there. She was actually there signing documents. So there is an affiliation. So I'm assuming she works for them. There is a connection. It's like when you're a detective and you got all these pictures of people and you got the strings going to like the center one, and that's kind of what I feel like's going on here, but I haven't connected the dots yet, but we're getting there. And I know there's connections with all these people in regard to what's going on here in Michigan. So, yes, you are right. She was at the foreclosure. So thank you for reminding me of that and help let me share that with the audience. So I want to talk about the 341 hearing, which is coming up for me on Tuesday. And I had a lot of anxiety and fear and all this stuff going on. What do I say? What do I do? But the more that I research it and learn, it's just a 10-minute hearing. And I'm like, what are you getting all bent out of shape for? But the fact that the creditors could be there and they are objecting, why are they objecting so hard is my question. Could it be due to unjust enrichment? Huh, possibly. Just my perception. I'm just sharing my perception.
If I were
So,
you, I would get as much on record as I could in that federal hearing.
absolutely. And I did receive another letter, and I'll get to that. But I just want to share with everyone what a 341 hearing is. And so, when someone files a Chapter 13 bankruptcy, one of the first milestones is the 341 meeting. Despite how intimidating that it sounds, because it does, it's actually a very short, very controlled process, and it can be one of the strongest strategy a homeowner has when facing foreclosure. So we shouldn't look at this as, Oh my gosh, they're against us when they're actually helping us. And now that I know that, as long as the players, the trustee, and all the people that are running this hearing are not in cahoots with, and I guess we create that if we think it, right? So I'm thinking they're on my side. No, I feel that they're on my side because the girl that contacts me, she's always, I'm always sending her stuff and she's coming back. They can't give me any legal advice, which I'm fine with that. That's okay. Because I'm learning this whole process. And it's actually getting kind of fun. Well, I've said that before, not fun, but I'm enjoying it. So the 341 meeting is not a court hearing in traditional sense. There's no judge, no jury, and usually no dramatic confrontation. It's a meeting run by a bankruptcy trustee whose job is to simply verify who you are and confirm the basic information in your filing. So that being said, you raise your hand, you swear to tell the truth, and answer straightforward questions like, did you review your paperwork? Is everything accurate to the best of your knowledge? Do you understand your repayment plan? That's it for most people. The meeting lasts, like I said, less than 10 minutes. Now, here's why Chapter 13 and that 341 meeting in particular is such a powerful strategy to save your home. The moment a Chapter 13 case is filed, something called the automatic stay, okay? This is our protection. So getting letters like this, and I can say it may be a violation, but I truly feel that it is just from what I'm learning. It goes in effect automatically the minute you file bankruptcy. You are protected. Don't be afraid to do it. Don't be ashamed to do it. All right. If you're in that situation, the day that I did it, I had to hustle though. I had to take a debtor certificate course, and I'm like, how am I going to do all this in one day and get it down there to the bankruptcy court? But the good news is that they have debtor courses that you can take that are like online, and you get your certificate immediately. You pay like maybe $19, $20, but it's debtorcc.org. And I did that. And I got all my paperwork done. I went to the bankruptcy court, found all the documents. I think there's like four or five of them. You fill them out, you sign them, you get them copied, and you get your butt down to the nearest bankruptcy office and get them recorded right away. And in my case, my redemption was up on the 24th of November, and I filed on the 21st. So this was my strategy to save my property. All right. So it goes into effect. The state immediately stops foreclosure activity, even if a sale date is days away. It freezes the process and forces anyone claiming the right to take your home to step into a federal forum and prove their standing. And that's where things change. In Chapter 13, creditors no longer rely on robo-signed documents, missing assignments, or vague claims of ownership. They must show real evidence, proper documentation, proper authority, and proper accounting under federal oversight. For homeowners dealing with fraudulent and questionable foreclosures, like yours truly, okay, this matters. This really matters. Chapter 13 doesn't just delay foreclosure. It exposes it to scrutiny. It creates a paper trail. It puts the burden back where it belongs on the party trying to take the house. The 341 meeting is the gateway. Once you pass it, your case is officially moving forward. Your protection remains in place, and your repayment plan becomes the roadmap for keeping your home while resolving the debt lawfully. Now, there's going to be another avenue that I will take once I get through this in regard to my homestead process that I did. And that's a whole nother journey for me. But in the meantime, this is where I am at right now in the here and now. So while foreclosure thrives on speed and confusion, Chapter 13 slows everything down. It brings transparency and gives homeowners time, leverage, and most importantly, a voice. But make sure it's a neutral voice. Do not get emotional. Stay is legal, is what's the word I'm trying to look for? Do the legal language. Do not get emotional. Don't say, well, they committed fraud and they did this. You just stay within what the legal terms that you're supposed to say. And I'll get to that here in a minute to share some of the responses in when I go into the meeting. So we are born into a world. Hold on a second. Let's see. All right, let's get to the responses. And oh, okay, before I get to that part, I want to talk about the two documents that I received from the trustee. And one said, and I think I talked about this in the last show, one said voluntary statement of bankruptcy filers without an attorney. The other one was pro se assistant disclosure. So I couldn't sign that because learning about my signature and the value that it creates, if I sign those documents, they get my signature again, which creates what, Shane?
More currency for them.
Bingo! So you don't want to ignore it because they said to have it in before the 341 case. So what I did is I derived a declaration regarding bankruptcy petition preparer. And I addressed it to the Department of Justice, Office of the United States Trustee. And then the reference was Chapter 13 bankruptcy case. And I quoted my case. And this is what I said. I said, my name, am the debtor in the above referenced Chapter 13 bankruptcy case. I respectfully submit this declaration to clarify that no bankruptcy petitioner preparer as defined under 11 USC 110, was used in the preparation or filing of my bankruptcy petition, schedules, statements, or any related documents. I prepared and filed this bankruptcy case pro se without assistance from any non-attorney individual or entity, and no compensation was paid or promised to any person for the preparation of the bankruptcy documents. Now, I looked it up. If you want to have friends to help you and, like a study partner, and share thoughts about how to navigate through the documents, that's okay to do, okay? Because they're not professionals. Now, I looked that up. According officially formed 119 bankruptcy petition preparer's notice declaration and signature and official form 2800 disclosure of compensation, a bankruptcy petition preparer are not applicable in this case. I declare under penalty of perjury that the foregoing is true and correct. And then I dated it and said, respectfully submit it and my name and all my information. So you don't want to ignore the documents. Even though it says voluntary, you still want to show respect to the trustee and let them know that you did acknowledge it. And if they ask me questions in the 341 in regard to it, there are responses that you can do. Okay. So that is the BPPP. And it is not mandatory. It is voluntary. So you don't really have to fill it out. Okay, so some of the responses that I have, what are we doing on time? We're doing on time. We're good. We're good.
We're good.
All right. So I put together a pro se on what happens in the 341. They're going to ask me my personal identification, and here are the safe answers. Your legal name, you state your name. Your current address, state your address. They want to know your date of birth, your social security number, you state that. If you've had any prior aliases, you state all used previously, if any. Okay. Some of the questions, did you review your petition schedules? Here's a safe and accurate way to answer. Yes, they are accurate to the best of my knowledge. Okay. Always want to respond like that and keep yourself safe from incriminating yourself. Filing voluntary, yes. So basic yes and no answers. Did you read and understand the bankruptcy rules? Yes, to the best of my knowledge. Now, I looked up the bankruptcy rules. That book is like 96 pages. Did I read it all? I grazed through it. Could I, even if I did read it all, could I remember it all? Probably not. I'd have to read it over and over again because you guys know we don't remember things. That's not our MO. So those are some of the responses, but now I also have one in case of the let me go here. This is a general statement. If you're asked about your schedules, your plan, or your filing, here's a safe response. Yes, my petition, my schedules, and plan were filed in good faith and are accurate to the best of my knowledge. If the trustee asks you about debts generally, you say all debts are listed accurately. Some claims, including, and I gave the name of my mortgage company or the service holder, are disputed. So they know that I'm disputing that. All right. Now they may want more questions, but it does go on to say, the mortgage claim by is disputed. I have responded to their objections with a transcript of my communications and reserve all rights to further address creditor standing and consideration through proper motions. Okay. So you only say this if the trustee or the counsel ask about the mortgage. But that's a safe way to navigate through it. Why is the debt disputed? Here's another response, because the party asserting the claim has not yet demonstrated it is the real party in interest or that it paid value for the debt. Okay. Another thing that they are objecting to is the plan feasibility. Trustees may ask you if the plan works. Your answer will be the plan is feasible based on my income and expenses. Treatment of disputed claims will be addressed through proper motions. All right. And that's in regard to the bankruptcy. Accusations of delaying bad faith. No, I filed in good faith to reorganize and resolve all claims through proper court procedures. That's another response. Foreclosure or sheriff mentioned, any enforcement actions are subject to the automatic stay and are being addressed through the court. And then it says the name of the creditor's counsel. If they speak or challenge you, you say, I understand counsel's petition. For the record, I reserve all rights to challenge standing, consideration, and creditor status through proper motions. Okay? So there are responses and the other thing is to really know your documents, go through your plan, understand what the plan is. And, you know, it's a lot of information that is for sure. And I did not have my taxes completed. And so I sent an email to the trustee's assistant to let them know, because this shows good faith that they are in process. Okay. And I think there was one other thing that I didn't get done. I did respond to the IRS. I filled out the document. I got that in. So there's all kinds of documents. You want to make sure that you're getting them in. And if you haven't, you know, got through the checklist, because they had a checklist for me of the things that I needed to have in regard to the 341 hearing. Now, if you don't have any of them in, just remember to have the right responses when they ask you. And always stay neutral. Do not get emotional. You know, just be, you know, like as straight as you can be. All right. Because that at one time was very hard for me. How would you feel in a situation like that, Shane?
Well, during through my experiences now, before I understood how powerful we were, I probably would have panicked, which is one of the reasons why I can stay so calm in those situations now. I said, however, though, you said it beautifully just a second ago. You changed your perspective that they're here to help you. So, I mean, that's all it takes.
Yeah. And this whole time I've been worried and afraid that they were part of the good old boys club, and they're not. And you can create that relationship by just being in good faith and doing what they ask you. Now they really wanted me to get a lawyer, and if that does come up, there is a lawyer that I found through another person that said that he is not affiliated with the good old boys club and that he mainly his focus is on deeds. So I may reach out to him and see if he would be willing to take on if I do make it into the federal court with the issue of unjust enrichment in regard to my foreclosure. Yeah, so I have to fill it out. I'm going to go meet him. I'm going to share my information and see if there's a connection and see if it feels right. And that's how I'll roll if we come to that point. So anybody out there that is going through this or has gone through it, don't be afraid to call in and talk about it, okay? That's what we're all here for. This has been a journey, and it's hard for me to believe that there's nobody out there going through this. And either that or they just gave up. I hope we're not giving up, right, Shane? I hope there's a lot of people out there still working on their homesteads.
Yep. I mean, it's their experience, just like it's your experience. And that's the one thing that we realize and recognize and have to really respect on this journey is this is your experience. I'm just here experiencing it with you. And whatever you're excited to do and what you're going through is it's your experience. No one can tell you right from wrong on this journey. It's up to us to see it as an experience to remember who we are. We use these times to from the very beginning, when you started this process, it was very an emotional roller coaster. And now, as you're getting to the end of it, you're seeing how powerful you are by just changing your perspective. And you're no longer getting rattled in it. You've calmed down. Things have gotten easier for you. And now the outcome is that you're we knew what the outcome would be. It's just a matter of how are we going to get there, and sometimes that can be an emotional roller coaster. But you're now seeing how, and I hope everyone listening understands that it's the emotional stability that we seek during these experiences to change the outcome. Because, like again, you said it in the very beginning, the awareness within is what we reflect on the reality without. So whatever we're feeling within our heart, within our mind, that is what is going to be projected in the reality that we experience. And you are teaching a lot of people on from a higher dimensional reality experience, as well as a third dimensional experience with this process. Q always said it's easy to get a homestead, but you're actually putting together a process and a system for people that have that are afraid to do it or scared to do it or actually going through it. You're actually going through the mud right now. So
Yeah.
kudos to you. Kudos to you.
Yeah. And you know what? This, if I can open the doors for others to take the stand and not be afraid of this system, and we work together, not just against each other and work together. And if the bankruptcy court can see that I'm in good faith and I'm really doing my part to save my home. And I'm being honest and I'm working hard and I have been sending my payments in, and that was never a problem, paying my mortgage. I never had an issue with it, but because of the situation in regard to the foreclosure with some of the nefarious things that were going on, them upping my payment, it seemed like every 6 months, and then being sold to another servicer, it was just really strange. It just didn't feel right. Something was not right. So I'm uncovering a lot of stuff here, and there is a reporter here in Michigan, and his last name is LaDuff, I think it is. He's an ex reporter of the Detroit Press, and he has his own show, and he is investigating the attorney general right now and also our governor in regard to a senior lady who was that was taken advantage of. We have a caller, it looks like, from the Midwest on line one. All
Yep,
right, let's take
Allie.
the call. Hello.
Hello.
Oh, is this is Allie. Hi, Allie.
Hi. So I'm trying to call in and I'm trying to mute the program, and my daughter's calling on the other line and you're answering me.
Okay, so this wasn't a real call-in.
Yeah, this is a real call-in. I just
Oh,
wanted to
okay.
say I filed bankruptcy. It was many, many years ago. And I mean, it wasn't because I wanted to, but I got married and my husband had to file bankruptcy from his previous marriage bills. So after he filed bankruptcy, then they decided to come after me and wanted me to pay the bills. And so that's why I had to file bankruptcy. There wasn't a home included in that bankruptcy, but I know it's very nerve-wracking to go through.
So,
Like you're explaining, you know, you have to know every little detail and what do you expect when you go in there? You know, it's nerve-wracking.
yeah, I think you told me that you had a lawyer. Was yours a 13 or a 7?
It was a 13.
Okay. All right. Wow. Yeah, quite an experience, isn't it?
Yeah, it's like they don't care. They're ruthless. They just want somebody to pay something. And they weren't even my bills. And I learned a valuable lesson, you know, going through that.
Well,
Because
thank
I
you.
always paid my bills. You know, I always paid my bills. I never let anything go. But my husband's attorney told him, you know, before you file, go buy anything you want.
Yeah, exactly.
That was his, that was the attorney's advice. But anyway, it is what it is.
Yeah. Well, thank you, darling. We're
So,
getting just go ahead.
okay, I just wanted to let you know I understand everything you're going through.
Oh, thank you so much. We love you. Thank you for calling.
Okay, have a good day. Love you guys.
Bye. Okay. Yeah, that's Allie. She's such a remarkable woman, and I called her earlier today, and her daughter was raising her voice, and I had to tell her, "Breathe. You need to breathe. Take a deep breath." And she did. Kids are so cute. Okay, so where was I? Oh, the change begins with us, and don't be afraid to make the changes and do what's important in regard to your freedom, your sovereignty. And there are people out there. I do believe there are good people out there doing their jobs and really helping us that are struggling in regard to whatever the situation may be. So just remember, everyone, we live inside systems we didn't design, yet by living in them, we help sustain them. Most people aren't complicit out of malice. Their intentions are ordinary, even kind. They're just trying to live, to care for their families, and do what they believe is right. But history shows us when the stories that hold a system together begin to fracture, people don't rush toward ideology. They reach for each other. They look for a voice they recognize, a presence they trust, someone close enough to feel real. In times like these, information alone isn't enough. What people need is proximity, humanity, and love made visible. So that's the role of us, the ground crew. We're making the changes. We're not here to persuade, not to condemn, but to stand with one another, to be present in the room, steady in the moment, reminding each other that even as structures shift, our connection does not. So, anybody that's going through anything, please reach out, call, talk to us. If not, that's okay because we got plenty of information to share. So, we're getting to the end of the hour and we're going to wrap up the show. Shane, you got anything else for the beautiful people?
No, I'm good. I'm grateful for you and I'm grateful for the audience. I'm grateful for BBS Radio. They're grateful for our callers. And, you know, it's just a state of gratitude
Yeah,
what I stay in.
we got some exciting times coming for sure. And as we wrap up this episode, once again, of PRQ Homesteading Expanded, thank you, beloved BBS Radio, for carrying these sacred frequencies on the airwaves. And to our cherished listeners and subscribers, we love and appreciate you all. I am Robin and Shane, the bop bibbity bop bop bop, signing off from our
Bye.
embassy of light. Until next time, Be the grace and keep on shining. Love you all.
Thank you.